Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:40 p.m. and that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is April 23rd. I'd first like to thank so many subscribers for the really profound outpouring of compassion for condolences that you've sent to me and my family. On the death of my mother, and we really do appreciate it. But coming back after being away from the market for a few days, it really has been something of an all change. We've had some very dynamic moves in the market. Certainly that has been the case for the dollar. And I'm starting off by looking at the Taiwan dollar, because we can see that the US dollar trended lower very consistently all the way from the beginning of 2016 until now, and it is now rallying. So the downtrend hasn't quite been broken yet, but it is rapidly unwinding its oversold condition relative to the trend mean, and it is rallying from a previous area of support. And that's just one currency. But when we look, for example, at the Indian rupee versus the US dollar, well then, there is a pattern here of the dollar having found support and beginning to reassert itself. Then, if you look at the South African rand, there was a pattern of outperformance by the rand from the beginning of 2016, and it had appreciated by over a third, and now we're starting to see that the US dollar is beginning to demonstrate some support. If we look at some other of the commodity-related currencies, then I think there is at least short-term evidence that the dollar is completing a base formation against the Brazilian real. And what this is all pointing towards is a pattern of support building and an increasingly return to form by the US dollar. Well, when we look at the Australian dollar, for example, then the US dollar is now testing the progression the Australian dollar is testing the progression of higher reaction lows, and we're getting pretty close to where its demand is going to have to be reasserted if the benefit of the doubt is to be given to this progression or this progression of higher reaction lows since the beginning of 2016. So we are approaching a rather critical juncture. Well, part of the reason for this renewed sense of strength by the US dollar is because the 10-year Treasury yield was grazing the 3% level in here today. It's been rallying pretty persistently now. This is the fourth consecutive day on the upside, where we've seen almost 20 basis points added to the yield. Well, 3% is a big psychological level, and a lot of people have been watching it, and it has been consolidating below the 3% level for most of the year so far, and this represents the upper side of the base. When we look at 10-year TIPS, then the inflation-protected securities have been ranging below about 80 basis points since 2013. The continuous commodity index has been ranging below approximately the 435 area since the middle of 2015. So there are a significant number of indices that have a common characteristic of representing outlooks for inflation that are approaching the upper side of their respective ranges. Well, it was also an interesting day for oil, because despite the fact that we have had the renewed strength in the US dollar, which had worked against the oil price earlier in the day and also on Friday, then it was up in a dynamic manner in here today. Now, part of the reason for that is because Russia and OPEC are talking about increasing the supply cuts that have so far contributed to the recovery in oil prices. Well, oil had pulled back rather sharply in January, but it has found support in the region of $60 and has continued to hold the progression of higher reaction lows since then, and is pushing on now towards the $75 area. And it really, it's a clear downward dynamic that will be required to check the advance here. So when we look at the Saudi Tadawul All Share Index, well, then it is continuing to exhibit relative strength here. And it's one of the few of the emerging market indices that is continuing to push on to new high ground. Then you also have the Malaysian index, which is right in the region of the peak that we saw back in 2014, and it is due some pause and consolidation, but it was most recent of the major indices, emerging market indices. It's the one that is still closest to its peak. But the darling of the investment community over the last few months has been Vietnam, and the Vietnamese index posted a downside key reversal 3 weeks ago, and now is following through on the downside. It is a pretty good example of an accelerating trend that had lost consistency at the penultimate high, and now the most likely scenario is that we are in a period of mean reversion, and that's perhaps the most optimistic scenario. So there is potentially that we're going to come back to the region of the trend mean, but then the question is how lengthy a process of consolidation are we going to have subsequently? Emerging markets have been the favorite destination for hedge fund flows over the course of the last 6 months or even a year, not least because the dollar has been so weak, and also because they have had a relative valuation discount compared to some of the more established markets. But when we look at, for example, China, where you still have single-digit multiples for a significant number of large-cap shares, there is an additional risk premium, and that is being exhibited now by the H Share Index. It's right around this 12,000 level. This is representing the region of the progression of higher reaction lows, and if support is to be found, well, this is exactly the area it's going to have to start to come through on. But the strength of the dollar has acted as something of a salve for Eurozone investors, and the Euro stocks was up over the last 4 or 5 consecutive sessions, and it has broken the short-term progression of lower rally highs. It's back above the trend mean. It's doing exactly what it needed to do. That's equally true, for example, the FTSE 100, which has bounced from around the 7,000 level and is now back above the trend mean. But of course, they are being aided by the weakness of their respective currencies recently relative to the US dollar. So, for example, the pound has failed to sustain the move up and out of its range, and having had a failed upside break, then the potential is that it is going to pull back towards the lower side of its range. And by the time it gets there, it'll probably coincide with the region of the trend mean. It's at that point then that people will ask the question whether the almost a year and a half long trend can be sustained, or the progression of higher reaction lows will offer support. Well, with the continued demand for the dollar, then it is weighing on the precious metals, and gold is back towards this $1,320 area. There has been an upward bias to trading since the middle of March, but it's really the $1,300 area is where I think a lot of people would be looking for support to be found. This continues to look like a relatively steady process of consolidation over the course of the last 4 months, but as long as the region of the trend mean continues to offer support, I think that will be an area where a lot of people will I think remain relatively sanguine about gold as long as it's holding that $1,300 area. Silver prices had popped on the upside last week, but then have pulled right back down into the range. And again, that's another failed upside break, and it suggests that we could pull back all the way towards $16 in the absence of a clear countervailing upward dynamic. And when we look at the industrial metals, well, aluminium had surged higher after the the sanctions on Russian aluminium, and with the potential easing of those sanctions, then the price is coming down rather sharply and has given up 50% of the advance from the beginning of April already. Then the nickel price, which had been rallying in sympathy and had pushed up out of its respective range, has now pulled back towards the upper side of the underlying range. And if it's going to find support, well, there was just tentative signs that it may be finding support in here today, but it's going to need a clear upward dynamic to confirm that. So we've certainly seen an uptick in volatility for the industrial metals, and that has also, I think, transferred into a little bit of additional volatility for the mining sector. But so far, it has continued to hold the region of the trend mean, and as long as it is doing that, then I think people will be reasonably happy that this continues to represent a recovery scenario. Then we should keep an eye on what's going on with, for example, the NASDAQ, because it has been such a clear outperformer over the course of the last few years, and it has certainly paused. Something that I was looking at earlier on today was, for example, Facebook, that it has rebounded to test the region of the trend mean and the lower side of the overhead trading range. This is the do or die moment. It is either going to encounter resistance here and pull back towards this $150 area, which would be the next area of potential support. And what that would suggest is that we have a completed type 2 top formation with right hand extension. Or it is going to push back above the trend mean and into that overhead trading range and move into more of a process of consolidation. So it is a rather interesting level. And when we look at the options, then if we look, for example, at the most where the most of the open interest is, well, then there's a lot at 160 and a lot right now in the May options at 175. Well, that means that there are some puts are already in the money. Then if we go back and look at the 160 area again, that is also where we have a lot of open interest. So when you think about it in those terms, we're not the only people that are looking at the 165 area as an area of potential resistance, but rather that there are plenty of people who have drawn the same conclusion. Then Netflix is still about $80 overextended relative to its trend mean, and it has failed to sustain the break up and out of its range. Well, it does look like that there is potential for at least some consolidation around this area, and the options are comparatively cheap considering that there is the potential for $80 of a pullback before it even approximates the region of the trend mean. Excuse me. Then, if we look at Apple, Apple has a history of rallying for years, for successive years, but then it is also liable to have some rather large pullbacks. And certainly, volatility has increased over the course of the last 6 months, and it is back in the region of the trend mean. So, this is an area where, if the trend is going to remain reasonably consistent, it would need to be finding support. And so far, there's been an absence of clear upward dynamics. So that is at least three of the FANGs that are looking susceptible to some additional consolidation at a minimum. And that is potentially weighing on the broader stock market. The NASDAQ is definitely more volatile now than it was at any time since the middle of 2016. The period from the middle of 2016 until the beginning of this year was the most consistent in all the trading that we saw from the lows back in 2008. So, when you do get a more volatile period after a particularly consistent period, one has to ask whether the imbalance between supply and demand that was animating that particularly consistent period is still in evidence. And, well, the answer, of course, is no, it isn't, because if it were, you wouldn't have this volatility. Then you have to ask a question is, well, is this a developing top formation or is it a medium-term consolidation within the context of a broader uptrend? And that is a question that is very difficult to answer. So if we had the warning signs for a recession flashing red, then we might be able to conclude then this is a top. And if we see that the index is breaking below the trend mean, and most particularly if it encounters resistance subsequently in the region of the trend mean, well, then we could say we have a completed top. But in between now and then, the argument about whether this is more like 2015 or whether it is more like 2007 is going to be raging. What we also know is that because that argument is raging, and because supply and demand have come back into a relative balance, that people are raising stops. People are asking these questions. That there was somebody who wrote in an email today asking exactly these kinds of questions, and everybody is asking that exact same question. And the fact that people are asking that question today rather than thinking about how much further the stock market is going to advance and how to make best use of their available capital to profit from that, that is a complete change in the psychology of the market. It represents a more risk-averse mindset that has been the result of this uptick in volatility that we have seen. So that suggests that people's tolerance for additional volatility is deteriorating. So this is a time to be more, I think, cautious and to pay particular attention to the consistency of trends. It is where a lot of people will have been introducing stops because they wish they'd had stops back in January and February. And what that also contributes to is that there is the potential for additional volatility in the event that these recent lows do not hold. So I do believe that this is a more cautious or a it is a time to be more cautious. And I think that is perhaps the biggest takeaway. When we look at, for example, at the high yield bond spreads, we know that when they eventually break out, then they're going to represent a tail, or excuse me, a headwind for the stock market. But they're not breaking out. In fact, it's been particularly inert. But we also know that yields have been rising. So the fact that the spreads are inert means that junk bond yields have been rising at the same pace as treasury yields. So when we look at the weekly chart for the high yield bond ETF, it looks like it's rolling over. We are seeing at least near-term evidence that it has encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean. What I found particularly interesting today was when I looked at the bonds for the bond yields for Netflix, and simply looked at the yield, then what I'm presented with is this progression of higher reaction lows, and the yield on the most popular bond for Netflix was breaking out to new highs in here today. It's currently at 5.45%, and as recently as January, it was at 4.9%. So we have seen a widening of approximately 50 basis points, maybe a slight, just a bit more than that. And it is now trading below par. So that's also rather important that this was an issue that had when it came to the market in October, it was trading at slightly above par. Now it's trading at about 4.5% below par. And it is pushing on to new highs in terms of the yield. This does not spell a great deal of tolerance among high yield investors that it is going to continue to do well. And the other point is that when we look at the constituents of the JNK ETF, that a significant number of these issues are telecoms. So you have Charter, Sprint, and then there are a couple of European telecoms in here. So what you are in fact getting with this ETF is a high level of concentration in the telecom sector, and it doesn't look particularly bullish. So I think this is something that is also worth highlighting, that we do tend to look at spreads when we look at fixed income, but it is also worth keeping an eye on the absolute values as well, because the higher that the absolute yield moves, then the greater the pressure that is going to put on the financing of these companies in absolute terms. Eventually, when people start to lose faith, then that is when the yield starts to diverge from the sovereign yield, and then that's when the spread really does start to widen out. But if we continue to see additional deterioration, then that's almost inevitable. We get a lead indicator, perhaps, from looking at the absolute values rather than simply at the spreads. And of course, the stock market itself is a lead indicator for the economy. So, the fact that we have moved into a more volatile period, then that itself could be one of the better lead indicators for a recessionary environment later. I do think that this is a time to be more cautious. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.